White Rocket Entertainment.
10, 9, 8, 7, ignition sequence started. All engines are started. We have ignition. 2, 1, 0. We have a liftoff. We have a liftoff, and it's lighting up the area. It's just like daylight here at Kennedy Space Center as the Saturn V is moving off the pad. It is now clear of the tower.
Hello and welcome to the White Rocket Podcast, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, along with people like you via Patreon.com. Well, I just got back from DragonCon 2017, and I recorded several panels there. Really cool stuff on a lot of topics. One of the awesome panels I got to be on this year at DragonCon was a panel discussing Vikings, History Channel's epic fictionalized series about Ragnar Lothbrok and his extended family of Vikings. It's a great show. I love it. I haven't been able to do a show about it up until now, so I'm excited to be able to present this panel to you. If you enjoy this show, please consider helping out joining the White Rocket Entertainment family by going to patreon.com, patreon.com. and becoming a member. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help us continue to produce shows like the one you are about to hear, and we really appreciate it. And as always, we thank Nicholas Cottrell, David Medinas, Mark Squire, Dave Powell, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Michael Kirshner, Bill Matthews, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Chris Thrash, Wes Atkinson, J.W. Rice, Phil Amthor, Randall Walker, Richard Stevens, and War Damn Wade, as well as our anonymous one-time contributors. All of you folks are enormously appreciated for what you do to help us stay on the air. So without further ado, here now is the Vikings panel from DragonCon 2017.
Well, you have hopefully joined us to talk about Vikings. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Yep. Is everybody up to date on Vikings?
You're about to be.
Excellent. Before we get started, I would just like to remind everybody, if you have the app, if you would please go in and rate us at some point this weekend. Same for all the tracks. That would be great. Also, this year, we're doing charity. So this bucket will be up here all weekend. It is for this year's charity, is Special Olympics Georgia. So if you have a moment and some spare change, one of these days, please.
Ivar would appreciate it.
Don would appreciate it, too.
Yes, so if you could please stop by at some point and maybe make a donation, we would appreciate it. So I'm just going to let you guys introduce yourselves. So maybe if we want to start down the other end of the table.
Me?
There, Will?
Oh, okay. Yeah. My name is Will Nix. Everybody just calls me Nix. I talk about, I'm a guest lecturer at KSU on top of being an English teacher at Pickens High School, North Georgia. And I talk about everything from pop culture to gender fluidity, all those kind of fun little issues. And I'm just pretty much a panelist that hangs up with Jess all the time. So
there's worse things to do.
Yeah.
I'm Kitty Chandler. I am an author and bloggist and fiction analyst. And I can't speak today, apparently. Fiction analyst and data wrangler is what it says on my business card. And I am usually the overprepared one. I actually came with further reading. If anybody's actually interested in the historical Vikings, I have a short list of 5 books.
She you might be interested
my in job? Them. Come on now.
Bring homework.
Hey, I'm Van Allen Plexico. I'm a professor of history and political science at Southwestern Illinois, but I write a bunch of science fiction and pulp action adventure and superheroes and stuff like that. And so here's the two I said were kind of seemed like the most appropriate for this panel, is Lucian and Baranak, and I'm working on the third volume, which is about a female lead character named Caroline, heart cold as ice. And so I'm very excited. I love Vikings. I fell in love with the show. I binge-watched it last year and into this year, and I'm really excited to talk about it.
I'm Tara. I was a history major in college, so, you know, I like history. But nowadays I am an author and a blogger, and I do some webcasts and podcasts and stuff, and I run a couple conventions of my own. So.
Thanks.
Excellent. And I'm Jessa Phillips. I also blog and podcast all about geeky things. So I think that's pretty much why we're all here. So, season four. All right, let's. We're also supposed to talk about Ragnar. So yay. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm not quite ready to get rid of Ragnar yet.
Can we have a moment of silence for Ragnar?
I don't think we have a choice.
lift a horn for Ragnar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pass the ale.
But season four did see him go away and come back again. So how did you guys feel about Ragnar's return? Now, we know he had been away for a few years. Were you satisfied with how he returned?
Narratively or personally, would I eat dinner with him as a nice person?
Yeah, I feel like usually they do the time skips really well, but this one was weird.
It was also rushed.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly felt like, all right, let's bring him back and let's kill him too.
Well, we knew that was coming, right?
We did.
If you knew the story, you knew he winds up in a, spoiler, in a pit of snakes. And it's kind of hard to get out of that unless he, like, really did a lot of anti-venom right before he went in there. You know, that's it. So you got to figure that from this point on, he's a Force ghost. You know, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi if he's going to do stuff.
And well, they're also time-jumping again, so, I mean, it's.
And these kind of sagas, they tend to, you know, glorious battle, glorious battle, glorious battle, death. I mean, that's how it happens.
Oh, I'm sorry. And also, you know, the story goes, you probably all know this, but that he wasn't even supposed to be on, but barely at the first season.
Yeah, he was. He
They liked the actor so much, they dragged it out much longer than it was supposed to go.
They Martin Sheened him. Honestly, the West Wing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So we got way more of him than we were supposed to, so we should, I guess, be grateful to Odin.
I'm sorry. How many times was he near death? I mean, honestly, I mean, there's like, are we going to kill him? Wait, we're just kidding.
Honestly, I expected him to die when he was hanging from the tree.
Yep.
I mean, that right there is your perfect death for this guy. Just Odin-esque, boom, done. You have achieved enlightenment and also death.
It was almost like a chuckle-worthy moment. Like, you think, I guess I didn't expect that he was actually going to die, and it felt maybe a little bit like fan service that they had him, you know, hanging from a tree. I don't know how they made it amusing, but they did, you know, as much as you can make that, you know, type of situation amusing, but, like, with him, you know, how badly he failed at, you know, doing that. But in the end, I mean, he really did, you know, choose his own time anyway.
So. He also motivated his sons to do what they wanted to, come over there and just end Northumbria. Yeah. Hi, we're taking over everybody.
One of the issues I have with this show, though, is that with things like the death of Ragnar, it like plays very close to history in one way and then just goes completely and makes stuff up and brings decades together and characters that aren't related or related, and it just kind of, it's like it's half fairly decent historical fiction and half total fantasy, and they bring the two together, so, you know, you don't know, are they going to do the history thing here or are they going to do the fantasy thing here, and you're never quite
especially
sure.
With the first season, I mean, that covered a 900 year period in one season,
no kidding,
and that the Sons of Lothbrok were supposed to be, you know, a little bit more spread out and not all they're actually all three his sons. Okay, good.
Right,
but how do you feel about, you know, this him coming back as this character that really just, he decided he didn't want to be king anymore and just gave it all up, and even coming back to then just choose his own way.
Did he ever want to be king, though, really? I mean, he was a farmer.
Yeah. I think he wanted
maybe just wanted fame.
I don't think he necessarily wanted to be king. I think he wanted the freedom that being king would allow.
Yeah.
He wanted the freedom to go off and explore.
I think he wanted to be his oldest son. I mean, the one who goes off to explore, you know, is going down into the Arabian Sea, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And he just got power with it because of his cunning. I mean, one thing you can say about him, he was cunning to the end, even. I mean, it just...
He got tired of people over him that could tell him no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
but there's a difference between avoiding that and actually having to govern on a daily basis.
He did not want to govern.
No.
Which Aslaug was a pretty decent queen.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a very good manager of people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she had to have been. They didn't really show her leading very much, but I mean, Kattegat flourished under her.
Yeah.
It really did. I don't like her, but you know.
You know, we're all loyalists to the first, you know, so...
Yeah.
that's somebody I think that they really did a disservice to, especially the way they handled her character. in the sense that they didn't let her be more independent. It's like, oh, he's come back. I want to come back with him too. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Although with her, we got to introduce more of the mythological elements and sort of the idea of godly beings sort of visiting the everyday. So how do you guys feel that they kind of handled that with Ocelot?
I think they messed the prophecies up a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially with the second son, Snake Eye. You know, how he was supposed to be touched and was going to do these great things and...
No, dead.
I thought that messed. I didn't like that. This profound.
Sigurd's snake in the eye.
Yeah. He was supposed to be go on to do all these great things. It was prophesized, and she was seeing these visions, and then
axe.
Little brother, dead.
I don't know. I think as far as the legendary aspects and also magical realism, I like that they're doing it even-handedly, that they're giving the Christians as much mystical vision quest thing as well as the Vikings who are, you know, they're the stars of the show. They are the title characters, and it would be reasonable to focus on them, but they're also giving equal time, as much as the plot allows, to other faiths and other cultures.
I love the conflict with Loki throughout the whole show with the concept of Christianity invading and then how he handled it and then how I'm really interested in how it's going to take place in the future now that they've moved on to I don't know how many years they're fast-forwarding, but it's a good bit.
It made a good dynamic where you had one of the main characters that was very open to Christianity and was willing to consider other ideas and the other one's just like, hell no, kill these people, and yet they're just like brothers. And it's a very good character dynamic, absolutely. I was going to say, the question Jess was asking about bringing in mythology and bringing in the sort of fantasy elements, the thing about that is it's always tricky when you do these ancient stories. It's the same thing with like Troy. The movie Troy, you kind of either have to have, you either have to just say we're going to have the gods involved, and
or not.
They're here, or they're not at all.
Right.
And with Troy, they just totally cut them out of the Iliad.
But with this,
they kind of do a little mixture. I think you know they kind of have, you go a while and you don't have anything like that, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, was that a god? What was it? You know, what was going on there? So it's interesting how they had to balance that.
It's also the corruption redemption story you have with the priest. And how they handled that, and then I liked how they ended up handling it, being that that was his biggest regret. This is what's happened. And even Floki comes around, is like, I don't know if I really should have done that. I mean, so.
Well, I think it's only difficult to balance those elements if you come from a culture that favors one or the other. I mean, there's a long tradition of magical realism in most Central and South American cultures. So, I mean, you could tell a story that has gods in it as an influencing but not main starring role very easily, and magical realism just isn't something I see a lot of in most American Canadian films and television shows, and I'm really enjoying that Vikings is managing to do it in a visual medium very, very well.
When it adds that whole other character layer to multiple characters, I mean, you mentioned King Ekbert as well, and Floki all having to come to grips with, like, what is it that I truly believe and how do I then come to grips with that and sort of live with that in my own culture? How do you get other people to say, well, what I believe, that's what I believe, but I still believe in all of our core values, even though...
I saw that something I thought was really interesting, how they treated Ragnar's brother, his brother throughout this. Thank you. I'm blanking on names today, but with the whole Duke of Normandy legend and letting that stay in and showing the Viking influence not only through Great Britain and Scandinavia but also in France and the leading up to Charlemagne. I mean, really, it's leading to that area, so.
It does feel like, I like what they did with Rollo, but at the same time, it was kind of like, how many times is he going to screw over his brother? Like, at this point, it's you know, a moot point, but...
Now he has a wife to screw over, too, so he kind of bounces back and forth.
Yeah. Although I do like that they brought that sort of, like, legend in with Rollo and Gisla. Obviously, it's quite different from the quote-unquote facts that we know from history, and legends, but it's still... I like that they did that. I guess, like, to me, it seems like this... At this point, I don't feel like Rollo did what he did to screw Ragnar over again. I think he actually, like, I mean, you saw that moment that he and Gisla had, you know, and it's like, all right, he's just doing this for a chick. But it's what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to be a Viking again. I'll be right back, babe.
Yeah.
It seems like he's a lot more comfortable where he is now. When in Viking society, he was kind of there, but not quite when he was with Siggy. And now he seems a lot more comfortable and confident where he is. And he's like, okay, yep, this is where I'm. The problem is that where he is also part Viking. And given the opportunity, he's going to go be a Viking too and then expect to come back and everything's okay. And the rest of his family isn't quite so comfortable with his role of the Viking.
And bye.
Yeah.
What I really find interesting is if the time jump is what I think it's going to be, is it going to lead to Rollo's descendants being the Battle of Hastings? You know, I mean, that kind of that invasion, because you have...
Dang.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? I mean... Because that's the area.
That's another 150.
Yeah, then
they've been jumping, though.
Yeah. Well, I know, but dang, I mean.
Because look at where they left us with. I mean, the last few scenes, what's his name from?
Well, you still got the great heathen army with Ivar. And by the way, I think Ivar is really fascinating. I feel like, this is a question I have you guys. I feel like Ivar is, there's two things. One is historically, of course, he has to lead the great heathen army and the whole boneless thing we can talk about. And two, I feel like the writers of the show really like him. I'm not sure the audience wanted him to take over and be the main character, especially the way they portray him, because he's very petulant and kind of annoying at times. He's an interesting character.
Also cruel. I mean,
yeah.
Cruel.
So
he's just very angry all the time at everyone.
Though you can kind of understand why. And by the way, I'll just mention it because you know the deal is that Ivar the Boneless led the great heathen army, but we don't know why he was called that. So the writers just made up the whole thing of his disability, his legs. That's completely whole cloth from the writers. There's some speculation that was just a nickname, kind of like Jimmy the Nose, the gangster or something. Doesn't actually have a giant nose. That's just what they call him, you know. It could be that he was just, something happened somewhere in his life. So we don't know if he was, you know, if he
right.
certainly didn't have all this high technology that Floki
built. No, and
for
also,
him.
I mean, one thing, they also did something with him. He was also cunning.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was a great leader,
The level of cunning he did to beat the armies of was amazing. The whole just wearing them out. I thought that was one way of showing that this character may not be physically suited to lead, but militarily can handle the situation.
And understanding terrain. I thought that was interesting because that's the way the Greeks fought, right?
Yes.
That's the way the Arabs fought back in the Caliphate. And here all of a sudden...
Romans.
Yeah, and all of a sudden... And the Vikings never worried about it. The Vikings didn't care. They didn't care about the playing field. They just brought their swords and their axes
and
they'll fight you in the parking lot, as they say. You know?
Well, that goes with the theory that the writers of the show have built that he's in a chariot. Because if you're in a chariot, if you're in wheels... a big clunky thing, you have to worry about the terrain. You have to know where you can go, what you can see, whether you can get from place A to place B quickly. This is something he's going to have to think about. So it would make sense that he would figure this out, and especially with his drive and his anger, it would make sense that he would figure out how best to use this to his own ends.
Yeah, I really am curious, like you're saying, about what the heathen army, what are they going to do with that? Because that's a big player that's about to come in getting down into the invasion into lower London, you know, lower Great Britain. I mean, it just gets into a lot of stuff. Do they skip some of that, say it happened? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell from the time jump they gave us at the end.
I mean, they certainly haven't been skimping on the battles the past this past season. Like, it's come a long way from the earlier seasons where their
battles were
50 people in a giant empty field clashing swords.
Looks like a marble quarry or something in there. Out there.
Yeah.
That's honestly, right. With the oldest travels, I was waiting for a 13th warrior moment. I mean, I was like, we're going to slip this story in there too, because it seemed to be heading that way. Like, we're going to add this element as well. So.
I don't know if they will, because that's such a predictable place to go.
Well, I mean, you know, writing is writing, and sometimes predictable is easy. I just felt like they were heading in that direction.
That's the Vikings that went east and became the Varangians, and they're a separate group. But but it would be interesting to kind of.
Tie those legends in.
Tie it all together.
Beowulf,
Maybe Bjorn will go all the way to Russia and start that.
I mean, you never know. I mean, I like how they handle showing how the Viking influence is spread, not in just into that, what we see and what we think, but how it went, like, into Russia, going into the Arab Peninsula, the Iberian Peninsula, into the Franks. That this influence is bigger than what we give it credit for.
Yeah, the very beginning of the series, that was the whole thing, was that they wanted to go east, and Ragnar was like, let's go west.
Let's go west.
And they're like, no, we want to keep going east, because Russia's right there, man, and they're wide open.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's easy, so, yeah.
Russia is easy.
Russia's, exactly.
Well, for the Vikings, apparently.
For Vikings, when there was no Russia, Russia was easy, yes.
Well, they're also more suited to the terrain. No, but like you were saying, if they're going to go 13th warrior with it, they've already introduced the spread of Islam and the Muslim culture. So here you go. A lot of the accounts that we have of the Vikings come from Muslim scholars.
Well, exactly.
So
it wouldn't be hard.
No, I want to see a Muslim scholar show up and just start writing everything
down.
They didn't have a written language. They didn't have a written tradition.
They had oral history. You can draw words.
You can draw words.
Yes.
Ivar would be all over that.
Yes. Well, it's interesting to see how much more Floki plays a part in advising with Boneless, because honestly, that's something, that influence you can see is that you have your father's cunning, but you're going to have my distaste for anything not Viking.
Yeah, it's interesting. Ivar is more the way Floki would have wanted Ragnar to be.
Exactly.
So that's cool. That's a good point.
He really is Floki's son.
Except now Floki has mellowed some.
Age can do that a little bit. I mean, look at everything. Okay, Floki loses everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that to me was some of the most traumatic. I mean, with the loss of his wife, the loss of the child, then the loss of the adopted daughters killing the wife. You know, what I mean,
killing herself.
I don't think he would be that upset so much about the manner in which Helga died, because he seemed to understand this kid is not assimilating. She doesn't want to be here.
Yeah,
but he didn't know how to help Helga any other way. So
I think it hits him more because Helga kind of was his rock, kind of holding him back from doing a lot of the stuff. But
he lost Ragnar.
He lost Ragnar. I mean,
she bought him his eyeliner.
I mean, yeah. Hello. It's better, pretty waterproof too. Because I mean, the guy's in the water all the time, and you have to run. I mean, I'm jealous.
I never knew that eyeliner could be so menacing until Floki came along.
Well, and do you think that we'll continue to kind of, because we've seen that the brothers are going to split up. I mean, I don't know how you stay together after.
One of them kills
the other. Right. Yeah. So we'll continue to see both sides of that. Like Ivar going off with the great raiding horde, and then Bjorn still continuing exploration.
Who historically is that character supposed to be at the end? One that's from the Tudors.
It's basically sort of like a thing that existed in history. It's like a militant branch of
the
so he's, as far as I know, he's like an amalgamation of
several,
like, actual people who existed.
Okay.
Yeah,
because honestly what I was seeing here is that you're getting ready for that great Christian war, the Battle of the Heathens, and they lose. Which is, it's,
they're
going to
lose,
I'm not sad about that.
Well, I know you said...
I'm not picking sides. I'm just more of, an observationalist here.
Yeah. I know you said that, you mentioned Ivar being, kind of petulant and everything. Like, he gets on my last nerve. But one of the things that... that I found out was that the actor was told, the brittle bone disease, it's super painful. So even though he doesn't ever complain about it,
he's in constant pain.
So that's part of, the drive behind the actor's choices for the character, he's just in constant pain. So that's why he's so angry all the time. But yeah, him killing his brother, that's a little bit much.
I just thought it didn't fit with what was going on with the show, especially after the big build-up for him, and he's going to be this great, and then all of a sudden, he's dead. And it was simple, too. It was what a good.
He has such a interesting character journey in this season, from wanting so badly to have a relationship with Ragnar, but then also wanting to prove himself to... himself and everyone else in the world, to then just kind of not caring
also
at all.
The fact that they played up his impotence so much. I mean, every time we turned around, that was being thrown in his. That was being thrown out.
Just
there.
One more way to attack him and rile him up.
Yeah, I just thought that was all right. How many more plot points do we get to make this guy a bad guy? You're going to be the bad guy. We're going to label you a bad guy. So we're going to make you impotent.
But yet he's kind of the protagonist at the same time.
Exactly.
It's an interesting dynamic. Yeah, because there's not really a good guy on there right now.
Well, I would say the oldest son.
Yeah, but.
He's gone. I mean, he's not...
For the most part.
Bjorn, but...
I don't think
there ever really was a good guy, though.
This
is Vikings. They're all...
Ragnar was pretty sympathetic, though.
He was noble.
And then he'd do something crazy, and you're like, oh, man.
I feel bad about it.
It's Vikings, yeah.
I feel bad about this.
Yeah, that's true.
What's that?
Yeah,
Lagertha. Yes.
Lagertha,
yeah, she really was.
Yeah.
And then, well, I mean...
Well, and then she killed Aslaug, which was, I mean, on the one hand...
So?
Yeah, but she had it coming.
Well, she had it coming, but why did she wait for, like, 20 years to kill her? That's my question.
Yeah,
if you want to take vengeance... No, she had opportunity. She had plenty of opportunity. If you're going to take vengeance, take vengeance. Don't wait 20 years and then...
smart.
Okay,
yeah,
you're prosperous and queen, I'm
going
to kill you and potentially throw Kattegat into chaos, depriving of a powerful queen because I'm bitter.
Well, she broke her word and broke the deal, too, which is kind of disappointing because you want to think she's more honorable and wouldn't do that. And she's like, oh, yeah, you do this and that, we'll let you live. And then she...
You know. I think after the death of her, you know, when she kills her husband and all that, I mean, you start seeing a slide. And I'm not saying she's bad or anything like that. It's just like, all right, I've done this. Now I can do this.
She's
this,
getting
this,
more
this.
Ruthless.
Yeah, she is getting ruthless. It's like that turn to ruthlessness, yeah, which is fine. I mean, you see that.
But
with
there's always still an honor to it. I mean, she's still, Aslaug still got a Viking's funeral.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she still gets to go out with some honor.
Well, I mean, and even when Lagertha killed Kalf, like, she told him she was going to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she did not do anything,
like,
you know.
Okay, right, you know, we can co-rule, we can get married, whatever, but I'm going to kill you one day.
That's...
Well, and talk about, you know, being a believer to the point where, yes, now she's carrying Kalf's child, but having that stone-hard belief that it doesn't matter what she does, she's still going to lose the child, because the seer told her she would have no more children. But then to keep on going, I don't know. I still enjoy Lagertha.
She's my favorite.
I love Lagertha.
And that touches on, again, the whole idea of fantasy versus reality, because in real life, if a seer told you something, it doesn't... Newsflash, it doesn't really mean anything, okay? Whereas on that show...
It does.
It could be, yeah, it's prophecy.
But then they started messing with that, again, going back to my point about the second son. I mean, he was supposed to be this great thing, but since he didn't wait. I don't know, it got confusing.
When even the seer says, you know, whether it's a vision that Ragnar's having or not, you know, that maybe I could have been wrong. Like, no, you don't just throw that out there, like... Here's a whole culture that's based on such hardcore belief, and then to throw in that uncertainty.
And that goes with Rolo, because, I mean, he's told. That's the reason, one of the reasons he leaves, is like, you have no future here. You're going to have to go south and make a name for yourself, and by the way, you will be the father of kings. And it was very... It has some parallels to some, you know, some Christian lore there, so...
Plus, they can, too, self-fulfilling prophecies.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you think it, you keep acting on it.
And he did. I mean, and, you know...
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, even with Lagertha, like you said, she just does whatever she does because she knows, you know, she knows she's not going to have another kid, but, like, she's hauling boats through the woods, you know, she was pregnant enough that she was showing a little bit, and she's doing that, like, that sort of physical labor.
Definitely
a problem. Yeah, especially, you know, in these times when they don't have... You know, any, like, real, like,
there's
medicine.
There's no
good
wife on the raid.
Yeah, so yeah, she, like, that is really, we would never know whether or not she could actually have kids, because she's never going to try to take care of herself anyway.
Well, I personally still love the bear fight. I mean, you know, give me that any day now. What are you doing? I'm going to go kill this bear.
Well, but that's, Bjorn has his own sort of moment of self-discovery in that, How do you guys feel about that? Do you feel that he has really kind of come into his own? Did he maybe even need that journey?
I think he needed to get out from under Ragnar for a while. I mean, he really did need to be his own man, because I think he assumed he was next in charge, and then he just didn't want that. There was something else he wanted to himself. And then when the berserkers in upon him, by the way, which was an awesome fight scene, talking about some good choreography and how they handled that, and... I was proud of the boy. Good job, thank you.
Well, like you guys said, they took the magic out of the berserker.
Yes.
There's a lot of mysticism around what a berserker.
Yeah.
Is. Yeah.
Now we drug
you. Yeah, she's good.
Which I thought was great. They just injected some science there.
Yep.
But they kind of had to, because it's all myths. I mean, they didn't write everything down like you had, you know, Christian Twitter.
Right.
Jesus was bringing water every once in a while. Year 200.
Hashtag would be great. But, yep.
We don't think Corby's dead, do we? She just got cool.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah, because I mean, they make it look, they very much make it look like she is really on her way out, but there's nothing, I mean, I also haven't seen or read anything about whether or not she's definitely dead. I'm sure there's stuff out there. I haven't gone looking for it. But yeah, no, she did, she's become such a, Torvi has become such a different character from like when we first met her way back in
season four was for her.
Season two or something. I can't remember when she first appeared, but you know, when she was, Jarl Borg's wife and then kind of this, you know, meek wife of, what's his name? The son. The jerk kid. I don't know.
Erlinger.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, so when she was married to them, she was just this kind of like side character. And then, you know, they could have kind of pushed her off to the side with Bjorn too, but they didn't. Which is like as soon like she left Erlinger to be with Bjorn, and they could have just made her his love interest, but they didn't. You know, they gave her her own story. They gave her that fight with whether or not she was going to have to kill Bjorn, you know, to save her child, and you know, and then she is a shield maiden, you know, for Lagertha and helping Lagertha plot to take over Kattegat and everything. That was, she's had one of the best arcs the past like season or so.
Okay, did it feel like to you though? This, I mean, I know it wasn't, but it felt like the series was coming to an end with the build up to Ragnar's death. That they may end it after this one.
I felt like Ivar was coming. I mean, that's the that's the big thing there. I mean.
Oh, I agree.
I'm just wondering how much further they're going to go with that.
That was my point. Is like, yeah. You know, is because he really. I mean, a lot of times he carries the show. Ragnar carried that show. He really. I mean, the writing may not be perfect, and every once in a while, that character would step up and do something. And you're just like, yeah, okay, go. And I love the comparisons with Game of Thrones when they would make those comparisons, going, all right, fantasy versus he's killing people. Okay, and he's doing it all the time. And so I found that intriguing. That
even our housemaid has decided she can't even finish season four. She's like, no, I know what happens. I'm not ready for Vikings without Ragnar.
Yeah.
I think Ragnar carried the show right up until about mid-season four, I guess at the midpoint, when it became more of an ensemble show and they were setting up for Ivar.
Yeah, that's good. Because
I think they really did kind of backburner him quite a bit and make him considerably more subdued as he was having his crises of faith and becoming basically an atheist Viking, as far as I can tell.
When he grew out the beard is when he started getting different. That's when he became more of a, I like that, but yeah, that's when he became more of just like almost a mystical character in a way than a lead action hero, you know, or
yeah, he wasn't in the forefront of anything else. I mean,
right.
I mean, he really does he almost gets sacrificial with his, I'm going to do this so that way it inspires my sons to come and do the things. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way he sends back his son to go, all right, go tell your brothers what happened, was a, by the way, we're going to win this now because they're going to be so mad and everybody's going to come in. Because Floki comes back and goes, what do you mean? Wait, they killed Ragnar? They're holding him?
That reminds me, I want to ask you guys about the non-Viking characters. We haven't really talked about them. I thought our king, not Aelith, but
Ekbert.
Ekbert. Yeah, he has been a fascinating character all the way through it, and I kind of hated losing him, too.
That was the other thing, is losing the strong antagonist. I mean,
he's been very multifaceted. I mean, I like a character that you never quite know what they're doing, and they kind of change from episode to episode.
At first, he came across as almost Romanish.
He wanted to be. Yeah.
Well, I know he wanted to be. I mean, he comes across that, though. It's really that, but that slow evolution into the stereotypical Christian king, where he's, you know, everything's about preserving the faith, and that's how he wasn't. He was never like that at the beginning.
Right.
I think they're setting up Judith to be the next antagonist, because she's certainly developing a very strong, opinionated personality, and she's going to be molding her son now to be the next.
Who's another important historical character.
Yes.
He's another one that's like Ivar, he's another one that we know is coming.
Last Kingdom is dealing with that right now.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know.
And it's funny, he's Alfred, which in Saxon means friend of the elves.
Yep.
So he's tied in. Maybe we'll get some elves. Who knows? You never can rule anything out.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if elves showed up in Vikings.
Elves.
Odin showed up and just sort of started wandering around.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. We're here to make cookies.
That was not one of the stranger elements when they did that with the whole mysterious guy keep wandering into the village. It was a great way of handling, like you said, the magical realism of the show without overstepping, going, by the way, this is Odin.
Yeah.
You know,
big flashing sign.
They never actually said it. He's just, okay, here's a show about Vikings. Here's a guy with one eye.
Yep.
And here's a bunch of ravens.
Yep.
Which sleeping with everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Which actually makes me... That makes me... This actually is a question that's been on my mind the last several days as I finished up the season. Has anybody seen this show without a backing in Vikings and Norse mythology? Because I feel like you would miss a lot if you didn't have that backing. But I have no idea how prevalent it is.
Maybe some people go back and watch it over again now and get another appreciation.
There's layers to the show. I mean,
Well, we sort of touched on a little bit of the non-Viking characters. Is there anybody that wanted to focus on any of those characters? Does anybody have any strong feelings about?
I cried when the priest died.
Yeah, we're asking you guys, too. If you have questions or
anything.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little odd that Egbert committed suicide.
I agree. I
as a Christian.
And especially his transformation that he decides that.
He went off the rails totally. He went in from that rock on the beach.
Yep.
Actually, I think that was in response to Ragnar's death. Yeah. I think he felt like he'd been leaning up against this wall so long, and then Ragnar just was like, okay, bye. I'm out of here. And he's like, oh, fine. Slit wrist. And I think there was I like the arc there. I think there was a whole build-up because they have a conversation about, well, your custom of doing this is silly. Well, your custom of doing this is silly. Well, yes, it is. And they
had a good
their mini comparative
religion. Their mutual
religion,
love for the same man was fascinating.
It really was.
I mean, really, for two different reasons, they love this guy. And to the point of which he gives his daughter-in-law to him to father. I mean, really, I mean, it's like, yeah, go do this. Have some fun. And Ragnar at the same time is going, come back to the fold and be Christian to us. I mean, really, it's this real weird balance that Ragnar couldn't pull off and Egbert couldn't either. And I think that his death is what really brings that culminating end is the fact that that was our faith. You've killed our faith in killing that character. So,
one that they both sort of have to come to grips with the idea that while we both had that mutual love for him, he in the end had to make his own choice. And while, yes, he did choose Ragnar for a bit, in the end he chooses his Christian gods.
Yeah, he took the best of both worlds in that sense.
He chose his Christian gods, but he chose Ragnar over Ekbert.
Exactly. And
so,
I mean, and then Floki comes out.
Floki, I think, had an interesting arc in his whole Viking fundamentalism, because you start off and Christians are evil. And then he's protecting the Muslim worshippers, and he's looking around at this. He says, I have no idea what's going on here, but I can see the strength of their faith. I can see that this is sacred to them. We're not killing anyone here.
When did anybody else feel like that whole turn for him was a little heavy-handed? Just that here we go from just, you know, maybe, I think it's an episode, maybe episode and a half before, he's talking about how lost he is with Helga, and then next thing we know, okay, he's sort of found something. He's not sure what it is, but he's going to stare at a wall. In the mosque.
I think it was with his travels with Bjorn, what leads that to him is that he realizes the one mistake he made was betraying Ragnar. Is that betrayal, it destroyed him. Even though he was dead set on it. I mean, I'm going to kill that priest, I'm going to end the Christian movement and with my Viking people. I just betrayed the one man that I've had faith in. I mean, from the first episode of the show, what Ragnar said, Floki did, and you know, I mean, and that was it. And once that was gone, I don't know.
Speaking of the first episode of the show, though, Floki said he will grow up to be like you, and you will hate him for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how much that was supposed to come into play. It didn't seem like it did, but I feel like it almost was supposed to. There was supposed to be a greater
conflict between the father and son.
Yeah. and they went off in favor of other conflicts.
I think it's because, like he said, they plan on keeping. At first, you're not keeping Ragnar around, and then he's so popular, you've got to keep him.
Yeah.
That if they'd have done it, Bjorn would have taken over. You'd have seen that time jump, and he's king. Yeah. But instead, they're like, okay, we can't quite do that yet, so we need to do something to extend that plot line. Because he really is his father's son. I mean, they are too much alike.
Yeah.
Well, but the difference, at least up till now, is that Bjorn is still he's still raiding and traveling, whereas Ragnar, you know, gave all that up a lot sooner than he really wanted to, you know, because he had to. He became
the leader. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't really think he ever meant for that to happen or wanted that to happen. Like, I mean, in the end, especially when Floki is building the boats for Bjorn and everything, I feel like there was definitely a lot of, like, jealousy from Ragnar's part. Like, not... Obviously, he still loved his son and everything, but, you know, Bjorn was doing and is still doing what Ragnar really always wanted to do, but instead he got stuck ruling.
So does anybody have any opinions as far as who do you want to see become, I guess, king of the Vikings now? Is there anybody on Team Ivar?
I don't think we have a choice. I mean, I think he is the face of the Vikings. I mean, at least for a season. I mean, I really am wondering, again, this shift that they're heading to, what the time skip's going to be, how much we're going to see what's going on in England. Because it's going to be major.
Well, we could get a lot of Bjorn down in the Mediterranean, too.
We really could.
Because there's stuff he's doing down there.
That's what I think the tone of the show is going to change so much, because how do you split this time up?
Well, they already had so many plot lines and characters. It's really a complex show in terms of the A plot, B plot, C plot. There's a bunch of plots going on. It's hard to keep track of it all.
And it wasn't, though, at the beginning, though. The first couple of seasons are very simple.
Yeah, straightforward.
Straightforward, and then you get to season three, and it's, all right, and everybody's Rolo. It was Rolo's departure get into.
Yeah, you get the
France
stuff.
Okay, everybody's scattered to the four corners of the
But again, what they do in season four is they bring back Ragnar to kind of tie that back together. Here are all these plot lines. Yeah. You don't have a character to do that anymore. I don't think you do. I mean...
You could make an argument for Bjorn or Lagatha, because they're... Some of the only ones who have a driving force. I mean, there's Floki, he's been there from the beginning, but he doesn't really have a driving force. He follows whoever. So you have to make it either Lagatha or Bjorn.
I think so. I agree with you. I'm finding it interesting how they handle that this upcoming season.
I'd say Lagatha. She's already an Earl. She's the only one that can command the respect of the incumbent families of the village.
Yeah.
Bjorn would be all the same way as Ragnar. He'd just get rid of it.
Well, I don't see Bjorn staying in Kattegat.
No. He was already leaving, right?
I mean, for a couple of seasons now, honestly, I didn't expect him to go south or east. I expected him to go west.
Yep.
To Greenland, Iceland.
I thought that's where they were leading, and I was not disappointed, but I was like...
He still might.
He still. I mean, I'm wondering... Because they kept dropping the Eric name every once in a while. They'd have a different character named Eric. I'm like, all right, that's where they're... Nope. They killed... Wait, we just killed Eric. That's not him. Wrong Eric.
Can Eric fulfill all of the seer's prophecy, though? Because isn't he... Because when... I don't know, like season two or three, Ragnar goes to him and asks what his sons will do, and he gives him all these wonderful things, like travel the world and like marry Princess or something like that. He's like, oh, but what about my first son? He's like,
I'll
talk about your first son. Has Bjorn done all those things?
He's not married the princess yet.
No, he married the Jarl's wife.
Yeah.
So, depending.
Depending how you want to look at that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make him fall in love with somebody in the
Middle East.
With who? Because Bjorn seems unconquerable by love, but I think when he maybe hits like the shores of
find somebody there.
Khalif's daughter or something.
I'm just wondering if you're going to see any conflicts between Rolo and what's going on there and that heathen army, because Rolo's kind of now, the defenders of the faith in a weird sense.
Weird, yeah.
It's really getting into that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the unsung character, but the theme, the unsung hero for me this season and the last few seasons as the show progressed is all the engineering.
Yes.
Things like, and I'm an engineer, so I kind of get
getting the boats across the yes.
Getting the boats across the land, the siege engines.
Yes.
Francia.
That was 500 years before the Ottoman Turks did it at Constantinople.
I was
that's pretty cool.
All that and I was just, I think that's where a lot of the conflict that Floki has, with his faith and his intelligence. I think they kind of,
He gets conflicted.
He's conflicted
yes.
because he's a science guy. He builds things.
But then he goes and says it's all faith-based inspiration, so yeah.
Loki was a shipbuilder, so
yeah.
And that's when I kind of yelled at the screen, "No god's ever built a boat. You have, so your hands, man." I really like that the whole moving the ships. I think that was just fascinating.
It was amazing.
The siege barge that they had when they fought with Rollo, that was like, I've never seen a water battle like that.
It's like even the French can win a battle if they got crossbows. If you don't have anti-crossbow technology, even the French can kick your butt.
It's absolutely amazing. I had to rewind and watch it. I was like, that's just amazing.
We can't float the boats down this river. Fine, we'll carry the boats. We'll lift them up the cliff and...
We'll take you up piece by piece.
Yeah, we'll float them down this other river.
No, if I'm not mistaken, that was done several times.
I'm reasonably sure it was.
Yeah.
And anytime anybody wants boats built, Logan's just like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then they cut to a scene, you see all these boats floating.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if they're going to get into, you know.
Yeah, that's who.
Him and Helga.
I think he must be who they're using on Game of Thrones, too.
Yeah.
Just they've cranking got, them out. They got a factory.
They've not got Shetland Islands yet. They've not got, I mean, there's some Viking influence. I mean, there's some battles coming up that, I mean, the Shetlands are still technically Viking territory.
Yeah.
I mean, they were trying to get independence from Scotland just this past 5 years because of they don't think themselves as Scots. They're Vikings. I mean, they really do look at themselves that way.
Okay, so we don't want Eric. We want Leif.
Yes, we do. We want Leif.
When we didn't really talk about King Harald, and do we think that whole line in Caedogeth is going to continue in this next season, where Lagatha's really just going to have to work as hard as she can to defend the city?
Didn't they end that line?
Well, possibly, because Harald's brother's going to go off with Bjorn. Mm. But then we still have King Harald himself.
Yeah, he's there. I mean, there's...
I guess it's just whether or not he's going to keep trying to take over...
There's no woman to impress anymore.
Yeah,
but he's
yeah.
also still not king of Norway.
No.
Yeah,
still not king.
And also,
that's
like
just
I feel
so
like,
random.
Yeah, his it's a very weird. That's one of my least favorite. Yeah,
I did not like that plot line at all.
No, it's one of my least favorite parts of the show from last season. Mostly because like he's constantly saying, you know, he wants to be, you know, bigger than he is and everything, and then you know, it's all for this woman. Well, then she shows up and she's married to somebody else. Okay, well, he kills her husband. But like
half done kills.
But then he still like he takes this, you know, bastard kid that he's just met. You know, and says, yeah, take Caedogeth for me. Like, it's just very, it was very much like, whether, maybe it was a test to see, like, how hard it would be, you know, like, oh, well, if he is able to take over, great, but if he's not, it'll at least show us some of their weaknesses. But yeah, I don't know, like, part of me is like, do I want them to continue with that, or do I want them to just forget about that whole plot line? I'm really torn about it.
I just can't
the
get
king
past.
Of Norway, I would be
I'm saying, I just can't get past. I want to be king of Norway. It's so random. I mean, I know it's up there, but it's like if I said, you know, I really want to be king of South Africa. You know, I really want to be king of South Korea. I mean, it's just it's such an odd.
He keeps saying it too. Like it's,
yeah, like it's like it's
happen.
This thing. You know,
that we've had it before. I'm going to be that now.
Yeah,
no,
it's just odd.
Yeah,
but oh well. I guess it's just because in history he was king of Norway.
Yes,
but before that. Was there a Norway specifically for him to say, I want to be king of that one day?
I think historically it wasn't.
Yeah.
He unites Norway.
Yeah, so,
like,
what is this Norway you're speaking of?
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to be king of the western coast of where Sweden is.
Yeah.
But just the coast part, where the fjords are. I don't care about the rest. Just the coast part. That's what I want.
I'm hoping with the way that the show ended that they're heading more toward those inland battles with Britain. You're looking at, you know, the invasion of Scotland. You're looking at all that. That's,
good luck.
The Picts are there, and they're not happy.
They're blue. They got no pants, and they're pissed.
And exactly. So,
hopped up on Woad.
Yes. But again, though, I mean, I recently traveled to Scotland. Those influencers are still there. I mean, you can still see it, and it's a great time in history to see some of this being brought to life.
Well, the Great Heathen Army more or less wins, right? It's just one more layer of Britain until you get the Norman Conquest.
And which is funny, because if it wasn't for the Heathen Army, the Norman Conquest doesn't work, because Britain, the Saxons split their forces.
Yeah.
Because you got, is it Alfred in the north? And then, or is it...
I didn't prepare for this part.
I didn't know.
No, but okay, you got the Vikings from the north, and then they stop, which is really funny. They stop, and then here come the Normans, which...
Who are technically kind of Vikings, too, honestly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but
they're French Vikings.
If you're going to do William, that's Rollo's descendants.
Right. That's where the years go
up. This is why the years are messed up.
So messed up, right. Well, Rollo
you're
is...
You're going to have to grow up his son, at least his son, if you're going to squish that together. You're going to have to grow up his son really quickly.
Rollo was not contemporary with Ragnar, much less his brother. So that's all, from the very get-go, it's all kind of funky.
Well,
so.
I mean, like, again, that first battle that they show is 900 years later than what Ragnar was supposed to be around. So
yep.
900 years later, but 50 years earlier than that. But
yes, exactly.
Give or take a millennium, it's all good.
It's all good. That's the other thing about, you're talking about Viking traditions, though, is that Without that written history, we don't really know. We have it from Christian scholars who went, oh, they blew up our town, and then they went and killed everybody here. I mean, it really is a report of defeat. It's not like we ever stopped them. There's no like, and we stopped them. No, they just stopped coming. That's the mystery behind it, is why the Vikings stopped. There was nothing there to slow them down because they were winning and winning and winning.
Couldn't win the Super Bowl.
No, it's just they were the Falcons in the third quarter. I know. Hashtag still pain. Okay, all right.
Too soon.
How about the audience? Is there anything that you would like us to talk about that we haven't discussed yet?
Earlier you guys mentioned the Barangians, and you talked about, you know, Rollo's line of, again, giving way to win the conqueror. What about, you know, the possibility of introducing, like, Harald Hardrada, of Norway, who does become Barangian, who does raid throughout the Mediterranean, and then comes back, and it could bring in the Battle of Hastings, because... You have him.
That would be cool.
It would be a good way to handle it. I mean,
yeah, there's still stuff they can use. It's just a question of how much they want to compress into basically one or two lifetimes, you know, because this is stuff that happened over centuries and it's all happening in like a week.
If we come back and Rollo hasn't aged today, we're not doing Hastings. Yeah. I mean, that's not happening.
Yeah, it's just. But I guess the problem I had is it's on the History Channel, for crying out loud. If it was on Showtime or something, I wouldn't be as aggravated.
Well, it's
kind of
like with a tutor.
Yes, I mean, but this is the History Channel.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what History Channel you're watching.
Not really, but...
I'm just saying that Aliens guy.
That's true.
Good also, one is the Hitler Channel Viking. Sometimes.
Yeah. It used to be World War II 101, so... Yeah.
I think they've already also, and this might be wishful thinking, but I think they've already also foreshadowed some of the battles with Lagertha and her team getting stuck in the mud, which I was looking at that going, I've seen this battle before. They all die from archers.
Mm.
So, it still might be wishful thinking, but it might also be foreshadowing.
Yeah,
so,
it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting what they do with her character, because the sons are out there exploring, conquering, doing these things. Is she going to be holding on the fort? Is Harald coming in to become the king of Norway?
Yeah.
I mean, and then what is Rollo and the family doing down there? Because the Franks don't sit still during this time period. They're expansionistic as well.
Yeah.
How worried should Lagertha be in the show about Ivar's constantly threatening to kill her?
Worried.
Very.
He hasn't not delivered on that promise yet.
I mean, honestly, I think she should also expect it. She was the one who killed Aslaug because of past insults, so she should therefore, in turn, expect to be killed. So if she isn't expecting it, she's an idiot.
I mean, all we know, like, the seer said, you know, that she's going to be killed by one of Ragnar's sons. Obviously, the most obvious candidate is, of course, Ivar, but I wonder if the show isn't going to, like, twist that a little bit. Like, I think that would be cool. It's super obvious that you know, Ivar is the most likely candidate, but if it's one of the other ones, you know, or
Fitzurk.
Yeah.
Well, in the middle child, he's such an odd character. He's just there. I mean, really, it's like, all right, you have Bjorn, he's important, and then you have, and then you have him.
Typical middle child syndrome.
He really does. Yeah. Middle oldest, though, because, I mean, he's the oldest of her children, and then...
What was it? Ubba, Fitzurk, Sigurd, Ivar.
Yeah.
But you know what struck me funny about the boys, though?
Without the wife, Uber doesn't really belong there either, this season. Yeah.
Well, what always struck me funny about the boys when all of them were together is that they look like a heavy metal band from the 80s.
They really do.
They see some guitar.
Hey, what's wrong with that, man? Come on.
Ivar's the drummer.
Sigurd especially. His hair has bothered me.
No, like, Ivar looks like the new wave goth of the early
2000s. Norway, and they're all about their heavy metal anyway.
Yeah, you understand why. I mean, blood, death, pain. Hey. And cold. Sorry. But
anyone?
Yeah, we're running short on time, but if anybody
has... kills Lagertha, what does that do for Bjorn? Because you kind of wonder if he wouldn't come back for...
Yeah. Bjorn can't come back and kill him because, I mean, you're talking about historical inaccuracy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, obviously it wouldn't... on the show.
Maybe runs him out of there, though. I mean, because Ivar really doesn't come back. He really stays there.
I think so, yeah.
He stays in Great Britain, so...
Well, I wonder if Bjorn wouldn't accept it, though, because he seems like the kind of personality who would say... You know, I'm angry with you, but she did kill your mother.
I understand his
flood debt.
He's a mama's boy.
Yeah.
I hate to use that term, but he was so mad at Ragnar for the longest time over just that, over the divorce, even though it really was culturally fine what happened. And the grudge he held was so long. I mean, look how long it took for him and Ragnar really to get that coming back together.
When Ragnar himself even gave him a mixed message, you know, when they first return, and he immediately imprisons Floki, and he's like, okay, so you tied my hands here, I had the choice, and that was great, but, so you kind of get that mixed message of, yes, there's the honorable thing, but then, do you necessarily have to take that route?
So, we've been approaching this from a historical angle, maybe we need to approach this from a mythological angle. We've already had we've had Ragnar as the Odin figure. We've had Floki in the cave with the wife and the bowl and the trophy. And yes, thank you. There's an anvil you've dropped. I see this. So if we're approaching this from a mythological angle, who are the other sons? What are their roles? What do we think is eventually? Is this all going to end in Ragnarok?
Yeah,
actually, I think that's where it's heading. Is that an implosion? Mm-hmm. Because that's the only thing that does slow the Vikings down, is that they can't hold themselves together until Harald comes along and forges Norway. So, well, the Flash just died.
Ragnarok!
Yeah, see, it's Ragnarok. It was a sign.
Everything's falling over. Yeah, it was a sign.
So when that happens, Bjorn is in an arena ready to fight, and the Hulk comes out, and he says, it's a friend from work.
Wow.
Have you seen Norseman, the comedy version of...
No.
There's
only six seasons. It's a Norwegian show or something like that, but it's on Netflix now. It just came out this week.
Is it good?
It's really hilarious.
I gotta check it out. What was this again?
Norseman.
Okay.
It's only 30 minutes per episode. Six shows, but it's really funny.
I'll try that. Viking humor has to be good.
Yeah.
I mean...
It really is. And they're pulling a lot of contemporary language, and they're explaining fashion and all this stuff. It's just goofy and funny, but...
All right, sounds good to me.
Violent and bloody and all this stuff, too.
That's the best part, too.
They take a lot of modern cultural aspects, kind of condense it into, like, one person.
Okay.
Because it's a very limited cast.
Okay.
Everybody
write this down, put it in your queue. All right. Later. Gotta have something to marathon tonight.
We've got
Oh yeah.
You do.
Okay, what about a stretch? That was a stretch.
What were we supposed to take from that for Ragnar?
For the entire
He's a drug
plot,
addict?
Though.
Well,
I mean I think the whole plot was supposed to be Ragnar feels empty. He's looking for something to fill the void in him, so he's
also the random
finding,
Asian slave. I mean, I just thought that was...
So he finds opium from a convenient Chinese woman.
I know there was interactions with with the Muslim world and things are going on. There were. I mean, you have records of that. But to randomly get the slave girl who's going to hook you on opium, of all things...
It just seemed...
A stretch.
Yeah.
The entire relationship was just a metaphor for his trying to escape who he was and his life in general.
Yeah.
And then he kills her because he knows he can't escape.
Then he leaves. I mean, he does escape. I mean, he goes away.
He never really escapes being Ragnar. He leaves for years, but he comes back. He doesn't have to come back.
But he doesn't really come back as himself, does he? I mean, I don't feel like he's king when he comes back.
No.
He's not. He has to pay for all of his... He comes back and pays all the things that he did.
I think he comes back just to die. I mean, honestly, it was like a death walk for me, because it's like, I'm coming here to tell you, I'm going to England to get killed.
And he wants to take them out with him.
It was a suicide mission, but it did it. How do you inspire four brothers, excuse me, and then soon to be three, to work together? you kill their dad.
You take the most emotionally vulnerable one over to their death site and then make him feel, I don't know, guilty for not stopping you or whatever. And you use him to drive the others.
And again, I think if we take anything from this, it's what does Judith do now? What is that child?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? Who's the character that they show at the end? And wow, I mean, it's either going to be a great season or a jumbled mess. I don't think there's any room for mediocre here.
There can't be a lot left to it either.
No, two more seasons.
And you kill him in a manner that's terrifying to both pagans and Christians.
Yeah, the snakes.
Yeah, this is the
does snake. It have to be snakes?
There, that's the first thing
I thought with you. I was like Indiana Jones, really.
It's always gonna be snakes.
I thought they were gonna fake it out. I really thought that somehow he was gonna survive that the way they pulled it. Because it looked too cheesy. It's like,
and again, going back to the science piece, a lot of the snakes were not venomous.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't want to stick your actor in it.
Yeah. He might get an infection, but
you don't want to stick your actor
rash.
In a pit full of
poisonous snakes.
But I understand for the sake of props that you keep.
Yeah, yeah.
Snakes, but. I mean, geographically, not that many. Yeah.
In those times,
snakes
more
hanging out.
Yeah, as we'll say.
The venomous snake closest proximity to England.
And they would have to travel to get.
Yes.
Well, King Ayla had been holding on to those snakes for like a really long time, so
they were a little slow in killing him. Because
there was a thing in season one or whatever where they talk about the snake thing, and I can't even remember if they say it in the show or if my roommate and I were just joking about it, but it was like, how much money did this dude spend getting all these snakes from wherever he got them
from?
Probably
breeds them.
It shows you his motive was all about personal gratification. He could have shared that execution with the entire population that he governed over.
Nope.
But he kept just to himself in the woods, and so I was like, well, he kind of got what he deserved then. Because he was just after revenge.
Himself and Ekbert, who wrote
for revenge plot? You're talking about a revenge plot, and it just took forever. I mean, that was something, season one.
Yeah, but that's one of the themes of the show is people.
Revenge, exactly.
Look at Agatha!
Yeah, but that's a Viking. They wait. You know, they're patient.
We're done. So, next year, revenge plot.
Ivar.
And Ivar.
And how many more blood eagles do we get? We've had two already.
Yeah. Well, three would make the magic number, so.
Yeah.
I think.
What'd you think of the Raven Priest? The one that showed up to each son before.
That was Odin.
That was Odin.
Yeah.
That was Odin.
Well, I'm interested to see if Loki becomes the next seer. I mean, he kind of was taking on that role.
I think him and Ivar share off of each other's pain.
Yes.
Brings their bond together.
Yeah.
Not quite being right.
I think that's what drives the...
Well, I mean, really. Something about... How's Loki treated?
Gustav Skarsgård said that he plays the character as though he's got severe bipolar disorder, so he's definitely not quite.
How's it been, the ugly Skarsgård, too? I mean,
as a reminder, if you were using the app, if you would please go in and rate, that would be lovely. Also, all weekend, if you would come by, maybe stop by and donate to the charity, we would also appreciate that. That bucket will be here all weekend. But again, please rate us in the app. You want to see more Viking talk next year?
Yeah.
Next year should be really good or really bad.
But thank you all for coming.
We can do a Viking Thor Ragnarok comparison.
Right.
Griffin, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.